more convinced tonight, more convinced what's going on in Liberty Baptist Church is such a need in this hour. If we don't hand something down to our young people, then they're not going to know how to do nothing. They already don't know how to garden. So better teach them something about church, amen. And I know a lot of y'all don't know much about gardening, but I guarantee you it may get to that. I had my first one this year. And I tell you, I think more of it spoiled than what I gathered. But I guarantee you, we certainly are living in some changing times. But I'm glad I've got a Bible tonight that never changes. And we're more of in a mess tonight, I believe, because God's children hadn't been taught the Word of God. And we live in a society that's absolutely just went about crazy. And but I'm glad the Word of God that we have tonight is true. And a man don't have to apologize when he preaches out of this book. If you have your Bible this evening, I feel in my heart maybe to sort of pick up where we left off Wednesday and some teaching. We had a great service this morning. God has met with us. And I certainly did get some help for my life this morning. And when worship breaks out in a church service, you've got one or two options. You can get in on it or get away from it. And but I got in on it this morning and got some help for my life. You know, I'm grateful that I go to a church where we can worship. And so I bless Him for it. I'm glad we got some young people. And something that I want to reiterate on tonight, sort of keep everybody refreshed on my stance of things. If you would turn in Hebrews 13 and 17... And I hold your place there in the book of Ephesians, but in Hebrews 13, 17. I want you to notice when we walked in church tonight, the youth choir was basically full. And I'm going to tell you, the leadership of this church has great responsibility. Great, great responsibility. And Hebrews 13, 17. Young people, I'm going to preach to you tonight, along with everybody else. You were out Wednesday night, and I think you need to hear some things I've got to say. And I think this book has something that we all need to hear. But you always remember this in Hebrews 13, 17, and mark this in your Bibles, young people. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, so they watch for your souls, as that they must give an account, they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Now, I'm going to have to stand and give an account for what I've done at this ministry as long as I'm here. And there are no committees going to stand before God and give an account. The buck's going to stop right here. And I'm going to stand before God, Brother Jake, whether I compromised, Brother Mike, whether I bit the bullet and preached, I'm going to give an account. And I've noticed this about church, and I've noticed this about your children. Hard preaching don't bother your children, it bothers you. I mean, you look at these little ones around here, and they're just glad to be here. I mean, that's what you're supposed to be doing, is having church. And our young people, we have something to be very proud of tonight. I'm proud of our young people. I'm proud of the leadership that is leading them and taking time with them. This Friday night, we're going to leave here and we're going to go out here to the crossroads and they're going to sing. They're going to sing in a predominantly older church with older people. And I promise you, they're going to be a huge blessing when they get there. Any of your grandparents ever notice when your grandbabies get there how stuff picks up at your house? You know, it's just born and sort of dead, you know, and you just sort of in limbo and a grandbaby hits the ground, everything just perks up. And some of you young people think I'm crazy. You hang on, you'll get crazy one of these days. But, you know, young people bring life, and I'm glad we have them in our church. But you know something? I am convinced more tonight that as we're leaving off the scene and getting older, that their young people is going to have to take our place. We're not always going to be here, young people. And God's going to need you to be a light. And God's going to need you to know something about His book. And so this evening, I want you to realize and always understand this, that the preacher has got to give an account for his flock. And he's the under-shepherd. He's not a dictator. He can't drive the sheep. He's got to lead the sheep. And a preacher said last night, I love it. I'll use it this week. There are a lot of cowboy preachers. They got on their guns and spurs and they driving sheep. But God's called us to be the under-shepherds. He's the great shepherd. And so we are to lead the sheep. And I'm going to tell you something. If I'm going to lead the sheep, then I've got to do right. Amen. And if you're in leadership in this church, you're expected to do right. You know, I hear a lot of times about, well, deacons, they go frequent the liquor store. Amen. Well, that ain't right. I'm glad we ain't got none in our church down there doing it. At least I know about it. I'm glad about it tonight. And certainly, you know, when you're in leadership, you're expected to lead. And we lead by example. And so we've got to know something about what this book says. And so it is my heart to raise up a generation and know something about the Spirit of God. I'm glad this morning God moved in our Sunday school time. I told Brother Randy tonight, I so appreciate he and Brother Adam and their sharing in Sunday school and teaching, and what a blessing that is. And I know what a help. Each brings a different perspective to the Scriptures. And, you know, I'm more excited about that than I've ever been. But, you know, when God moves in, what we need to do is just mind Him and go that direction and never just be nailed down. That's where ministries get stagnated, saying, you know, we've got to do that. We ain't got to do nothing but show up and see what God wants us to do. And but we've got to be taught the Word of God in a systematic type of structure. We need the Word of God in our church, and the Word of God builds the church. And there was some lady asked my wife this week, said, how do y'all get them people to come to church? Well, you know something? If you'll fall in love with Christ, it's not hard to serve Him. I mean, I drove 233 miles one way because I fell in love. Left everything I'd ever known, moved to Bowden, Georgia, because I met that lady in Panama City Beach, Florida. That just so happened to be from Bowden, Georgia. Ain't that amazing? That wasn't by chance. That wasn't luck. That was just the perfect providence of God for my life. And I'm glad He saved me. But I said all that to say this. If you love Jesus, you won't care how often you've got to go. And you won't care how far you got to drive. You'll just be glad that you're serving Him. So we got to get people in love with Jesus. Amen. And now, Paul's writing in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4. And it's some things that I want us to realize tonight. And I am thankful for the good day, but I just feel this in my spirit that we need to run through some things. Now, we've seen in Ephesians 4 and verse 15, the Bible says, but speak in the truth and love that we may grow up into Him. Well, what a great example. What a great pattern. If you want to know the scale of something that you need to shoot far, it's not to be me, but oh, it is to grow up into Him. Matter of fact, I wondered if I was more like Him, how much better I would do in leadership tonight. And He said, in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. Now, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But ye've not so learned Christ, if so be that ye've heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. Now, we had talked Wednesday night on a testimony. Paul here, he's saying in verse 17 that he's going to testify in the Lord that we shouldn't walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind or in empty thinking. This world has a lot of empty thinking. We've lost great respect of sacred things. Used to, marriage was very sacred. And I said this, and I don't back up on this at all. I know there are times when things come up in marriage and you just can't work it out. I know biblically there are qualifications here for divorce takes place. I know that. But you'll have to agree with me as a whole tonight. Getting out of marriage has got way too easy. And we ought to be teaching our young people that marriage is something that is very special. It is a give and a take situation. We're working on our 33rd year of marriage. And I can tell you this, I sure wish I could have started out in this kind of knowledge than where I am tonight when I started. But you know what? I can't do that. So what I've done, it's water under the bridge and nothing I can do about that. The things I've said, I can't take back. It's sort of like our bad words, you know. When you shoot a bullet, you never get it back. And so we got to be careful of what we say and how we do. But folks, let me tell you, marriage is very important to God. God instituted the first marriage in the book of Genesis there with Adam and Eve. And let me give you young people some good advice. He put Adam to sleep. Quit looking for a girl under every bush in the country. Just go to sleep and let God send you your mate. Amen. And you're not going to find her down in the beer joints. You're not going to find her in the pool room. Best thing to do is get in the good local church where they preach and serve Jesus, and He'll send you a good Holy Ghost girl by, make you a good wife. Somebody say amen right there. And boy, I thank God for my wife tonight. But as a whole, our society and the testimony, we've taken marriage very lightly. And we that are married tonight, you better realize something, men. That's the most precious thing that God has ever entrusted you with, because He has written about it. And He's told us in Ephesians 5, and young people, listen to me. Verse 21, watch this, it's plural, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. It's not a one-way street. Many marriages fail because of a one-way street. And I'll be honest with you, I'm very fortunate that my wife didn't leave in our early years of marriage, because I was a very self-centered individual. I was married to a bass boat and a bird dog. Amen. And I'm just telling you how it was. I was young and dumb. But God has entrusted me with something very special. And that's a gift from God to be my wife. And you men that have a wife on your pew by you tonight, you ought to thank God for her. And ladies, that husband, you have something very special. That word husband means a band. It bands things together. And men, I'm going to tell you, God expects you to be the man at home. Amen. Some of you need to get you a man card. Put it in your billfold and look at it and be reminded you got permission to be a man. Matter of fact, most women want to live with a man. I got statistics for that. It's some messed up that don't. But you know, a woman wants a man. Amen. And so God wants us to be a man. God's made us a man to be a man. And some of you boys got a high-pitched voice. You ought to go to putting some gravel in your voice. And some of you don't never lose your temper. You ought to kick a bedpost every now and then. Amen. Let them know who's in charge around the house. Go now, you little henpecked-looking feller. Amen. I mean, sometimes you just need to take the garbage and just dump it upside down. Say, man, look what I can do. And then, of course, pick it up for the glory of God. Say, you know, I'm going to pick it up, but I just showed you I could turn it upside down. But you know, God wants us to be a man. And I think God wants us to be a man that knows about this book. And raise our family up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Some of you ladies that don't have a husband, you ought to be praying that God would send you a good Holy Ghost-filled man. And some of you young ladies, I want to tell you this, you saved yourself for your husband. It will be worth it. You saved yourself for your husband. Love Jesus. Get in this book. Be sold out to Him and God will work everything out.
But we've lost in our testimony as a whole, even in our churches, a respect for sacred things in the marriage. Now look what he says now. He says, I want you to submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. It's easy to submit to your husband if you realize you're doing this as unto the Lord. In other words, God wants you to do that. You're being obedient to the Lord. Amen. You're not to be a doormat. No, no, no. But you are to submit to your husband, be an encouragement to him and a help to him. And then men, one of the strongest verses in the Bible, verse 23, the husband's the head of the church, or the head of the wife, it is Christ, head of the church. He's the Savior of the body. Therefore, is the church subject to Christ. Let the wives be their own husbands, everything. Now here it is, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. We have a lot of self-centered husbands. And husbands, let me tell you something. You ought to let your wife go out on a little shopping time if you got the money to do it. If not, you ought to get you a little extra job, Shoshina. I guarantee you got some extra money in your billfold put back for whatever you need that's priority in your life. But boy, we ought to encourage them and let them have a life too. Let me tell you, they're not supposed to be in a flour sack, sitting in a corn crib, and wait for you to get home at night. They got a life too. And you ought to get in on that life and enjoy it with them in fellowship and enjoy the blessings of God. Some of you kill me. Your wife go buy a new pocketbook, but you ain't thought about that shotgun you bought. Well, it's a two-way street, amen. And any of you wives got a problem with your husband buying a new shotgun and you're married, you wouldn't want to be married to me. Because I feel like after the bills is paid, we paid our tithes, we put a little bit back, then, honey, let me tell you, I'm going to enjoy life, and I'm not stacking it up to let my young'uns fight over it. I'm going to shoot it all up till I go to glory. Amen. Amen. And Brother Dennis, if you want to spend it on ball tickets, that's your business. You can have all of mine. I'll take all your shotguns. Amen. But we got to realize you've got to have a little sense if you're going to make it in your marriage. Nobody wants to be married to the law. Law dog. My wife, bless her heart, that alarm went off again Saturday morning. But I done up my study. I heard it going off. I said, bless her heart, even on Saturday, she's so programmed she's going to let that thing go off three times before she's got to get up. Any of y'all do that? Any of y'all live in them kind of conditions, you know? Why, most folks go to divorce court over that. I mean, bless her heart, I love her to death. She got to be up at 7, my alarm starts at 6:30. And then it's going to go off about 20 till 7. And I mean, this thing sounds like, I mean, you've never, I mean, these lowrider cars ain't got nothing on my wife's alarm clock. I mean, it bounces the window out of that. And what amazed me, she just lays there and sometimes I say, honey, your alarm's going off. Well, that bothers me, but I ain't going to leave her over it. I guarantee you, where I walk in by my bedside, some of you going to die, and I say this, but I know tonight I had a pair of cowboy boots, had a pair of work boots, had a pair of tennis shoes and my house slippers right by my bed. That's my place, my spot, none of your business. I can throw candy wrappers down. I can throw a wash rag down. I can do anything. That's my space. And ain't no sense in you trying to put the law dog on me, making me miserable. Amen. I love M&Ms. I got them on my dresser. I lay there in the bed and I eat them M&Ms just like a fattening hog. I mean, I'm sitting there. I'm out of M&Ms. Honey, bring me some M&Ms. I found myself the other night eating an ice cream sandwich under the cover. Got up, went back, got a Klondike bar for the glory of God. Somebody help me preach in Bowden tonight. I'm talking about real kind of living. Get up and walk 2 miles tomorrow. That's blasphemy, amen. But I worry about that walking tomorrow. I'm going to eat tonight. And guess what? We're going to be happy doing it. I'm glad I'm not married to a law dog. Amen. You know something? People didn't live good under the law. That's why Jesus came. We've got to have grace in our marriage. Just as grace in a church, we've got to have grace in our marriage. And so we've lost respect to marriage. Now, there are obligations and duties in our marriages. 40%, this is an alarming data. 46% of couples that were married 25 years ago, they're not together tonight. That's alarming. That's nearly 5 out of 10 couples. That ought to be an alarm to our church. Young people, that ought to let you know that 4 out of 10 marriages isn't making it. Be sure that's who God wants you to have. You don't have to be married at 18. They're using a word now, cohabitation. Didn't know what it meant, but it means shacked up. Now in 2007, there was 5 million households, which was 10% of couples living together, unmarried. In 2007, there were 2.2 million kids that were living with two unmarried parents. So what happens, that just rolls downhill. Now we got 2 million kids that don't know the responsibility of marriage. They have children. The apple don't fall far from the tree. Always remember that. You can't tell your children not to do this and you do something else. You got to live what you preach. 22 million children in the U.S. live in a single parent home. 22 million. I'm glad I had a daddy to take me fishing. I'm glad I had a daddy with me that go out on a back porch and make a freezer of ice cream. 22 million children in the U.S. live in single-parent homes. That's alarming. Think of how many children that are walking the doors of our church that need mentors. Some of you young kids at school, some of you that could be a blessing to these kids and have direction to them. What a ministry. Research shows that absent father, in general, wants to be involved in their children's lives, but they all got one thing in common, as we said Wednesday night. They've got no job. They can't support no children. Well, they ought to have thought about that before they brought them in this world. In a recent report in Michigan, it had a poverty rate for children that was alarming. 64% of those children whose parents never marry are in poverty levels tonight. These children are collecting welfare assistance and costing state and taxpayers plenty. It's your responsibility, Daddy, to raise your children. Marriage is fastly leaving out of our country in a fast rate. The testimony of marriage is nothing to where it used to be. God is sincere about marriage. We ought to love each other. Work things out. We call it quits too quick. And then homosexuality is an alarming rate in lesbianism in America. This is amazing to me. In 1987, 75% of all America felt that homosexuality was wrong. 23 years later, in 2010, only 44% feel that way. 44% feel like that it's all right. It's been accepted in our society at an alarming rate. Now, same-sex marriage, U.S. stats, based on 2005 data. Between 2000 and 2005, there was an increase of 20% of same-sex marriages. There are 770,000 same-sex couples living in the U.S. 20% of these are raising children. That means 154,000 same-sex couples that are living together are raising children in our country. Now, these children are raised up. They see two men raising them or two women raising them. They know nothing about the Bible principle of a man and a woman. California houses the most same-sex couples in the country at 92,138. Followed by New York at 46,490. There are more male couples living together. 51% male, 49% female. Same-sex partners are 40 years old on average. That's an alarming rate. You say, Pastor, what do you think about homosexuality? I'll tell you what the Bible says. In Leviticus chapter 18, mark your Bibles tonight. Leviticus chapter number 18. It's not what I say about it, it's what God says about it. But wouldn't it be refreshing if we just had somebody in leadership in our country to stand up and say, well, let me tell you what the Bible says about this, and so therefore we're going to stand on this Bible. Now watch what it says in Leviticus 18, verse number 22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. Young people, that means it is a trespass and a disgrace in the eyes of the Lord. He said, be ye fruitful and go multiply. You cannot do that in the same gender. Now, he says this also in Leviticus 20 and verse number 13. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death, and their blood shall be upon them. Now, in Romans chapter number 1 and verse 26, Romans 1 and verse 26, we are seeing an alarming rate in our country and even in our culture where it's saying it's all right. Young people, it's not all right. You say, well, what happens if two lesbians or two homosexuals come to our church? We preach to them, but they cannot join. People of like faith join this church. That's not our like faith. We believe one man and one woman. End of story. Well, aren't we to love them? Absolutely. But we don't love their sin. You know, we're not to be homosexual bashers. There's mom and daddies that's got homosexual children that love God. You stand up and you start bashing things and they start feeling just like that they've totally lost out on raising children. Let me tell you something. People get old and make their own decisions. Mom and daddies ain't liable no more. Homosexuality is wrong and is an abomination in the eyes of God. Romans chapter number 1 tonight. The Bible says this in verse number 21. He says that because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. That they became vain in their imaginations, their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. Changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. You see that? Now, politicians have changed this to where it's okay. But God says they changed the truth of God into a lie. Now, let me tell you something tonight, folks. I love preaching to people. But I'm not backing off the issues that's sending our children and our country to hell tonight. Look what He says. Verse 26. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and received in themselves that recompense of their error which was met. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to be reprobate or cast away or rejected. A reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. I believe it's a time when a person can go too far in this sin. Just like any other sin. Honey, be sure. Your sin will find you out. And the wages of sin is death. Mom and daddies, it's a good thing that your little boy is goo-goo-eyed over a girl. You ought to thank God for that tonight. That's just nature. It's unnatural for him not to be. If I had a little boy that's getting feminine, you know what? I'd buy him a pair of overalls and brogan shoes, and I'd slide him up down the driveway every chance I got. And when he got up, I'd paint him with Mercure Chrome. None of y'all don't even know what that is. Amen. He'd look like an Apache warrior when he went to school. They'd ask him, what's wrong? He said, my daddy's trying to toughen me up. Amen. And if you daddies would get these boys off these Nintendo machines and get them out there doing something in the yard, busting wood or picking up rock, doing something, making boys out of them. Our society's bringing on what's happened. We've backed off preaching. We've backed off what's right. And now we've got a generation that's confused. 76% of people thought it was wrong. Now some 46% people think it's wrong. Well, that's a 30% downfall. And it's crashing. And this thing about a man gets up and preaches about it. Our church takes a strong stance on it. And you know something, then you're labeled, but that's okay. Everybody knows where we stand. Amen. Says Liberty Baptist Church out yonder. They got a preacher and he preaches. Amen. We're not to hate nobody. We're not to mistreat nobody. But homosexuality is wrong in the eyes of God. Now, notice what he says. Certainly, no doubt judgment has come to our society. Did you know that the Bible says in Hebrews 13:4, that bed is holy? And if everybody kept this in the marriage union that God attempted, then it would eliminate all sexual diseases in our country. You think about that. There would be no sexually disease in this country if men and women were married together and kept their place holy. The wrath of God's on our nation. And this is the pitiful thing. Now our children are suffering because of it. And our grandchildren are suffering on the account of it. I'd have never thought I'd seen the day when elected politicians would vocally say, I'm gay. Let me tell you, it's a sickness. They weren't born that way. They've dabbled into sin. And let me tell you something. You take the fellow that was caught at Walmart, Bremen, Georgia, last week on that Wednesday night that I preached part of this sermon. They caught him that day. Thank God. You know what he said? He said he was molested when he was a child. Well, let me tell you what. That ain't a cop-out for doing wrong. I've been mistreated and misused as a kid. But I've got a choice. And mom and daddies, you guard your children. You'd have never thought today you'd go into Walmart to buy you a fishing lure and somebody kidnap your young'un. Know where your young'uns are. Mom and daddy, let me say this in closing tonight. Some of you, I'm wondering sometime who's the kid and who's the parent. I've heard people say, well, I won't bring her to church because she don't want to come to church. I never had a choice about coming to church. I mean, that wasn't a topic of discussion. Get your shoes on, we're going to church. And if you're paying the bills, why ain't you calling the shots? I mean, it don't take long now. A kid without a cell phone, kid without a computer, kid without the go with, sooner or later you'll get their attention. Quit feeding your trouble. Let them know who the boss is. Love them. Don't abuse your children. Love them. But you got to keep around. You got to know where your children are. My mom and daddy, the time I got along, and she'll get this message. I don't. Just cut this off. My mama don't need to hear this down there at that rest home. No, cut that off of me. You know, am I off, Brother Chris? Now she's going to come and say, "Hon, what'd you say?" I come along 6 years later than anybody in my family. The time I got 12 years old, they was tired of raising young'uns. You know what they done? They turned me loose. You know what I started doing, young people, at 12 years old? I was running with 18-year-olds. You know what I was doing? I was doing what 18-year-old people do that I had no business doing. I can tell you the first joint of pot I ever smoked up in a barn loft in a feed mill with an older crowd I shouldn't have been with. I never knew, young people, that would lead to an ounce a week in my life addicted. Wished I'd had an old preacher to tell me you don't have to do it. Can I tell you, Mom and Daddy's peer pressure is the hardest pressure in this world. When your children's off with the wrong crowd, you listen to me, teenager. You listen, you preach. I love you. That's why I'm telling you this tonight. You're not going to change the carload. They'll change you. Don't get in the bad carload. You'll be in a ditch bank upside down. You put me, a pastor, you put me in the wrong crowd for 6 weeks in a car, I'll be doing what they doing most of the time. It goes just like this. You know why? Because I'm human. This flesh loves slop. Brother Lee, this thing plays rewind way too often. So I wish my mom and daddy would have known where I was with and who I was hanging with. Amen. Look in all the hiding places. See what's in the cars. You paying the payments? You got the right. Search it. Look inside. You know, I used to have an 8-track tape player. That's where I used to hide all my stuff. Giving y'all some hints. Some of y'all know what. Some of y'all already know what an 8-track tape player is. But you know, it had a little flap. You could just hide all kind of stuff in that little flap. I remember one time, Brother Gerald, I got chewing tobacco, cannonball. I was a little young boy, about 12. And because my granddaddy had given me a chew and showed me. And I went to the store and bought me a cannonball plug, and I got me a big chew of it. And I hid it in a stump back behind the house. Come a big rain, I went back there and that thing was swole up big as a cannonball. But I know better to hide it in my house, my mama found. My mama, she'd just tire you up, boy. It never was none of this way till your daddy gets home. Daddy ain't involved in this conversation. It's on like Donkey Kong. Mom and daddies, know what your babies are doing and where they're going. Young people, don't put yourself in places where you'll fall. Now let's hit these real quick and we go on. Notice first of all now in Ephesians, back in Ephesians chapter number 4. I'm going to run through just a few things. You take these notes and then we'll be done tonight. Ephesians 4. Look, if you would, in verse number 25. He says, I want you to do something. He said, verse 22, I want you to put off concerning the former conversation or lifestyle, the old man which is corrupt. You see that? You that are saved, he still lives in you. Boy, he's a monster. He will show himself in a hurry. Watch this. You put off concerning that old man. Verse 20, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now verse 25, he talks about truth. Wherefore, put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. We ought to speak the truth. God expects His church to tell the truth. If you will never tell a lie, you'll never have to tell a lie to get you out of a lie. Tell the truth. Verse 26, he talks about temper. Be ye angry and sin not. You can get angry about stuff, just don't get crazy. We ought to be angry about sin. We ought to be angry about these statistics that's fastly taking our... Listen, I got three grandbabies on the bench tonight. They're counting on me to do right. Listen to me. They counting on me to do right. Your young'uns is counting on you to do right. Temper. We ought to be angry at sin and the conditions of our country. Well, just not lay down and let it motor roll over us. Be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Verse 27, not only the temper, but look at the tempter. Young people, underline this in your book. Neither give place to the devil. Don't give him a chance to trap you. Don't listen, older people. Don't put yourself in a place where you get trapped. The devil loves to set a trap. Neither give place. If drinking's my problem, I need to stay out of the liquor stores. If pornography's my problem, I need to stay away from computers and things that are getting me. Amen. If I'm on drugs, I need to get away from the drugs. Don't give place to him. Some of you in your marriage, if you know something that's absolutely makes your spouse lose it, quit giving a place for the devil. Verse 28. Not only temper, but thievery. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor. What happened to work? Work in with his hands the thing which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. Toil. There's nothing wrong with old-fashioned work ethics. Look at the tongue, verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, the use that edifying, that may minister grace to the hearers. Some of you got an old trashy mouth. You need to clean it up. Amen. The tongue. People's listening to what we say. And a lot of times you use plain good language, but you're talking about your brother and sister, and that ain't right with God. That ain't right with God. He says, you that are saved in this church, you ought to act different than what this world's doing. Watch your tongue. Then look at your temple in verse 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed to the day of redemption. Talking about the body. Boy, we grieve Him and quench Him a lot. The temple. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, about our body. 1 Corinthians 6, 19. You know, we got a cliche about what would Jesus do. I tell you what He wouldn't do. He wouldn't be smoking cigarettes. And don't get quiet on me. And He wouldn't be chewing tobacco. Ain't that right? And I'll be honest with you, I don't know if he'd be eating M&M's and Eskimo pies in the bed, neither. I just going to tell you that right now. I need to lose me about 25, and I know I do. So I'm not going to ride this pony on the barn. I'm just telling you, honey, he without sin, let him throw the first rock. But I can tell you this. I think a lot of things that we put up with, Jesus wouldn't be doing. Watch our temple now. He said, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 19, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We've got to keep not only our body right, we've got to keep our spirit right. If God don't change me Sunday morning, I'm preaching on what a day to be Daniel. I want to start a series here on Sunday morning on Bible characters. Boy, Daniel had a right spirit about him. You know why? He had a right spirit in him. Brother Dennis, wouldn't it increase our services so much if everybody coming here with the right spirit, ready to worship God? This building wouldn't, this townie wouldn't hold us. The temple. Then verse 31, look at the treatment. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Just be done with it. Treatment. It does matter how we treat
each other. And then lastly, 32, tender-hearted. Be ye kind one to another. Tender-hearted. You know, we ought to put that on our platform, tender-hearted, because we better remember something. If it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd be where all these things are tonight. Tender-hearted. Let me ask you something. When I'm a better preacher because of hurt, Brother Marlin. God has hurt me in life. Don't let nobody tell you God won't hurt you, because He'll hurt you. Now, He won't harm you, but He'll hurt you. And I've had to go through some things that now I can feel sorry for a mom and daddy. I can feel sorry for a man that's been robbed. I can feel sorry for a man that's got a habit he can't get over. Tender-hearted. Look here. Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Why are you holding a grudge at people you love? The Lord Jesus has forgiven you. Why don't you forgive them? Why don't you forgive them? We come down here and we bow and we want the Lord to forgive us. He said, well, what judgment we give, we'll be judged with. We better remember what this book says in every title and toddle. Look what he says right here, and I'll be done. In Colossians 3 and 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Young people, forgive one another. Mom and daddies, forgive one another. You know, Jesus in the forgiving business, He wants us to be in it too. I don't think He wants us to be some little old limp back nothing, just be run over. I think He wants us to stand up for what this book says. But we got to forgive one another. I appreciate you being here tonight. Stand with us.